Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Morning Show had a really interesting question. I want to follow up with our audience and see what they would say. I promise it's interesting. I'm not going to oversell. Hopefully it won't underdeliver. We'll get to that today at 105. Mm. Oh, it is 105. We'll get to it in we'll get to it in 3 minutes. Butch is on 97.1. What's up, Butch?
How you doing, fellas?
We're good, right, Butch.
Let me get you off speaker here.
Yeah, it's a good idea. We much prefer that.
All right. There
you
go.
Are you off speaker? All right, but you sorted out there. We'll get that worked out. 248-539-9797. That didn't go in, did it?
I don't think it did. It end up on a ledge?
I think it did. I think it threw a piece of paper at a ledge.
It's not easy to make happen either.
All right, so the Morning Show had this question, and it was based upon pretty much last night's action and this weekend. Last night, Pistons win again. They can't lose. The Red Wings win again. They have the second best record in hockey. Michigan State handles Kentucky. And then we've got our Lions. If you had to pick one contender that you would bet on and one pretender, which contender would you pick and which pretender would you pick? Out of those teams,
well, I don't like labeling one as a pretender.
I don't love it either.
It's an either or thing. I'll just say this: I think that the Pistons are more set up to be a team that they have a better chance of winning. I think the Red Wings do. I'll say that.
But we don't have to use the term pretender. If we just use it, which team has the most still to prove?
The Red Wings have more to prove for sure, because we've seen them be inconsistent already to start the season, even though. Through 20 games, they're off to a very good start, and it's a much better start than what they did last year. They got 25 points in the 20 games. Last year, they had 18 at this time. Mm-hmm. They're on pace for over 100 points, and their top line is playing like it's one of the top lines in hockey. They look really good, and lately, the goaltending has gotten better. Cam Talbot has played better in his last five starts and his last six appearances. His goals against is in the low twos during that time. And the save percentage is creeping up. It's still not great. Hovering just under 90% during that time, but better. I'm encouraged by what the Red Wings are doing, but just when you start to buy into it, it feels like then they go on a skid and lose 2-3 in a row and look woeful doing it. So the Pistons is a better product right now. It's a more polished product. The fact that they were able to get through a little stretch where they didn't have four of their top five scorers on the team playing is remarkable. And here they are at 13-2. So I really like where the Pistons are at. And I think it's a team that clearly, obviously, they played in the playoffs last season and the Red Wings did not. So the Pistons are building off that. The Red Wings are building off their season last year, but last year was not a playoff year. So that's where I stand with that.
So you, I mean, between Pistons, Red Wings, Michigan State basketball, and Lions. The one that
okay, I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was all four. I thought you were just
yeah. We're
going to
include
two.
Yes, we're okay, going to lose. We're including all four. The three that won last night and the Lions who are in the mix here.
So I'm still uncertain on Red Wings for Michigan State basketball. I'm wildly impressed with what they've done. They got a couple of monster wins already to start the season. The way they played last night, I don't know if they can play better. I mean, Tom Izzo said that the two practices prior to that, I guess, were like two of the best practices he's seen his team have in years.
Really like the rebounding and the defense.
And it translated last night, and then they started knocking down three-pointers. Remember how tough the three-point shot was last year? They couldn't they couldn't buy a three-point shot. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to knock down 8 in the first half last night. And they're doing it with a whole new cast of characters. Yeah, you have a few holdovers, but there's new blood infused in this team with 4 or 5 guys that are in the rotation. And I, even myself, I'm like, who's that guy? Who's that guy? And they're getting it done. Jackson Kohler looks like he's a totally different kind of player. A double, not only just a double-double, but it's a guy who can threaten to score over 20 points any night. And what we've seen Fears do at the point guard, 13 assists last night, the most assists by a Spartan point guard against a ranked opponent since 1999 in Mateen Cleaves. You have to go back that far. I like what Michigan State's doing, and I think State is a team that can surprise people, and maybe they're not going to be surprising people much longer because of these two big wins they have to start the year. Lions still have something to prove. What we saw last, that's the problem, is because what we saw last was not good. If that was to start the season and then they go on it, like what happened prior to the Philadelphia game, I think we're okay. But then the Philly game happens, like, ooh, that defense really handled the offense, and they're banged up right now on that offensive line. I'm nervous about that. So I guess that's where I am with the four teams. I'm buying the Pistons. I think Michigan State is a contending team because they have size and they have backcourt play. And then still have to prove, I guess to a lesser extent, are the Lions, because I think it's still a playoff team. The Red Wings have the most to prove of the four.
So I think the contenders are the Lions. I think they are most poised to do it. We've seen them win in the postseason. I think that I'm not going to let what our eyes showed us last dissuade us. I think they have a championship caliber roster. I really believe that. And so, you know, and they've managed to stay in the mix here deepest into the season. I also am going on the theory that I think they win the next 3 games at home. I think you put them in this environment in front of the home fans and the teams that are on the schedule, and I think we'll be looking at them completely differently when they are 9-4 after the Dallas game. So I think Detroit, the Lions are the most that I'm comfortable saying is the contender. And the other three, the problem is they're such small sample sizes. I'll probably say the one thing I know about the Red Wings is they have they've had the Red Wings teams in the last few years with much of this core has had one thing that keeps getting them, and that's March. I don't know why the month of March, or as you call it, the munch of Marth. Until they overcome the munch of Marth, I want to see that team get over that hump and play the full 82 and carry it into the postseason. So I'd probably look at them. With that said, you're right. The term pretender is borderline. It's. I don't want to insult any of them. I just think it's which team has the most to prove. So wait, your most to prove was
most
who?
Most to prove is the Red Wings.
Red Wings, and the one you think's the most?
Pistons.
248-539-9797. What do you think? Interesting topic on the morning show. We'll get to your phone calls and feedback. You're on Carson Anderson. 97.1.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. 248-539-9797. Piggybacking off a morning show topic that we really liked, which was, if you have to pick which team out of the three that won last night in the Lions that's the biggest contender, and which one still has the most to prove, or I mean, I guess it rhymes. People like to say pretender, but I don't like calling any of our teams a pretender. But you get the point. Who would you pick as the most legitimate contender and which one still has the most to prove? 248-539-9797. Let's get to your open line calls. Butch is next on 97.1. Hello, Butch.
Hey, guys. I gonged myself a moment ago.
Oh, good. What's up?
I'm going back to when you were talking about the Pistons, and I'll give you my contender vote after this. Right now, this coaching staff looks like they have the ability to do something that no other coaching staff has done since the Chuck Daly era, where they can take one lineup off the floor and throw another lineup on the floor without missing a beat.
You know, there was depth on the going to work Pistons. I remember the Junkyard Dogs and all them. I mean, it was a deep group. But Ed Corliss Williamson and but you're right. It is a huge thing. Is that can your second unit compete when called upon? And they are proving a lot right now.
Well, that shows how hard they practice. Then the second team is the ones who are playing against our first team in practice. And that's like back during the bad boy days. William Bedford never got any playing time because he wouldn't practice hard enough.
There were some other issues there too, but sure.
There were.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
No, but iron sharpens iron, as they say. If you want to get better, you gotta practice better. And practicing against really good team is good. That's what I think makes the Lions as good as they've been. My guys have been able to step in and be the next man up because they practice hard.
The Pistons are the next ones, I believe, that are going to the break out, you know, past the first round of the playoffs like the Tigers did. 3 years ago, I would have said it would have been the Red Wings. And when the Lions were guaranteed a playoff spot, a wild card spot, I had called in the show, and my question was, who's going to be the next team to make the playoffs? Well, now, who's going to be the next team to go beyond the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah. You gotta love the Pistons' chances because of this start and because of how they're doing it. And it is not just because you know what the East was? The East was wide open because of injuries in Boston and Indiana. And then the Pistons suffered their share of injuries and they're still dominating. David in Clinton Township. What's up, David?
Hey, what's up, fellas? So, couple things. Number one, the Lions have the most to prove because they have the biggest expectations. And by the way, just how good was our center last year? That being said, the Pistons have the best chance to contend and are contenders because they have the biggest room for error, as they've proven over the last week or so. And like you said, the East isn't nearly as strong as the West in basketball right now.
You know, it's funny because we can make a case here that the reason it's the Pistons and not the Lions is because the NBA's Eastern Conference is a lot easier than the NFC.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Crossover comparison, the NFC is kind of loaded.
Yeah, and like I said, losing, oh my God, I can't remember his name.
Right now?
Yeah. How did I forget? Oh my God, I'm getting old. How good was he? If this is what's happening, I mean, that's a big drop-off. You can make a case that he was the most valuable player of that team last year.
So
from what I've seen this year,
the good news is that it really does look like the defense is going to help. If the offense isn't as potent, at least the defense is capable of helping them out a little bit. And when a defense can, you know, give you better field position, when a defense can get off the field and get you the football back, when a defense can give you shorter fields, It allows that the offense doesn't need to put up. I mean, what did they put up, 35 in the postseason last year and lost?
Yeah, something like that. It was over 30 and too many turnovers. We know why they lost. Yeah. They did not have their best effort all around, and they were also depleted tremendously on the defensive side of the ball.
In the two playoff games that they have lost in the last 2 years, they've scored 31 in both. That's a lot of points to score and lose.
You know, it's funny what a difference a season makes. Like, the way this defense is playing, I feel like if you score 31 points, you're going to win 99 times out of 100 if you're the Lions. Because their defense has been so good. What's the high they've gone up this year? This is the first week against the Packers?
30 to Baltimore.
30 to Baltimore.
They so if you hold teams, if you hold teams, they give up 30 to Kansas City as well. 31. I mean, that's an interesting number. 30's their high, and their two playoff appearances scored 31. Now, they might not have the offense to put up 31 this year. But you can play more complementary football where you're not so imbalanced.
They have the ability to. It feels, I mean, this is where I agree with Dan Campbell. It's like a play here and there. It feels like because the offense can be so explosive, like on any given play, if you just give him a time, just give him an extra second to throw, J-Mo's going to come wide open or someone else is going to be wide open. And I know a lot of teams can say that, but the Lions really have the guys that can not just make the play, but turn the play into a touchdown like that. And it's J-Mo, it's Jahmyr Gibbs, it's Amon-Ra. They could all do it like that.
The primary example of just an extra beat is the fourth down incompletion to Amon-Ra in the back of the end zone, where Brock Wright was coming wide open, but Jared Goff didn't have time to get through his progressions and just had to get rid of it so he didn't take a sack. And I mean, I don't expect Penei Sewell to get beat like that very often.
No.
Jalen Phillips is a problem, and I hope that's not a move that haunts them forever, that one of the other contenders made it and they didn't. It's possible, but I hope not. 248-539-9797. Kang, what do you think on the contender-pretender scale?
So I'll just go with the Vegas odds, and Chalk says the Lions, out of all the four teams, have the best chance of winning it all. You know, and so they're my contender for sure of winning the Super Bowl. They're 12-1, I think, right now. The longest shot is the Red Wings, and it's not like I don't think they can make the playoffs or make any noise once they get in, but they're 100 to 1 right now to win the Stanley Cup for a reason. It's, you know, the other three teams just have a better roster, and they've shown more than what the Wings have shown. I mean, you got the Pistons that made the playoffs last year, the Tigers made the playoffs last year, so you could see why they have better odds. And plus, with the Pistons start this year, unbelievable, 13-2, that gives you off to, you know, they're, I think, 30-1 right now, guys, and the Tigers are 27-1. So that's the distance between the gap between the Wings and the rest of the other three teams here about winning a championship, at least from Vegas' point of view.
That's a very solid use of a cheat sheet. You're done smart.
I'm going with Chalk.
Yeah. Richard in Detroit, you're next. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
I think we dropped the ball on a lot of moves we could have made. I know Holmes and them were talking about longevity and all this and building a team to last. Okay. I can deal with that, but we've been suffering so long in Detroit. If it don't happen this year and we don't get there, you got to make the moves. You got to move some pieces. You got to give up draft picks. You got to go out and sign some high-priced players and bring them here and go for it. We can't just keep sitting back talking about, well, we want longevity. We've been longevity for 70-some years. You know, it's time to give us some players to go win this thing. We straight on offense. Go out there and get some high-quality defensive players that can help you shut this stuff down.
Richard, I think you're coming at us with last year's agenda. Are you sure they're straight on offense? And are you sure they need defensive players?
I mean, if we're not straight on offense, the place that I think we're weak at is the quarterback. They're putting that boy in a box and coming straight up the middle because you can't roll out. Maybe Ben Johnson had a point when he said, I need somebody that can move the pocket.
All right. We're not doing a golf topic again today.
And I don't think that's exactly what Ben Johnson said.
It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. Feedback coming in. Mark in Ann Arbor says, Piekaken sounds like a widowmaker heart attack. The favorite dessert of Elvis was order a cake on top of a pie. He died on the toilet.
The way to go.
Yeah. Mark, even I'd try Piekaken.
Yeah, but it'd probably be like the smallest piece ever.
Yeah, whatever. I said I'd try it. There's no partial credit here. It's a yes or no question.
If you can manipulate the pies and cake, is there a way that would make it even better?
For me?
Mm-hmm.
No. That sounds kind of... I'm not a big sweets guy, as you know.
Right,
but,
I know.
But I love pumpkin pie. I love pecan pie. Yeah. Cinnamon butter crust.
I mean...
Apple pie filling.
Buttercream, wasn't it?
Buttercream, yeah. Sorry.
Pykakin sounds like a film that Tori Spelling's starring in.
With Ian Ziering.
Yeah, yeah, it's not real, right? Gator, I mean, you like those kind of movies.
I love them. Yeah. It's like Sharknado, but it's Pykakin, and it's that's something that airs during the holiday season.
Yep,
mm-hmm. And it's on Hallmark.
Yeah,
and it's this little baker who is snowed in some little town in New Hampshire, and over the season she's not going to be able to make it.
Yeah,
and
there's another guy pay rent or keep it going.
There's another guy who shows up at the airport, and he's snowed at the airport too. He happens to be a venture capitalist, and
yeah.
He's going to buy the town.
Dude, we've just put together.
I've seen it a million times.
We've put together a script here. You're ready to roll with this. You're going to take your treatment to Hollywood.
Yeah, and they meet because they're walking. She's carrying like three pies, and he's got like this big giant wedding cake. And they collide because they can't see each other through the boxes of the pies and the cake. And then they realize, wait a minute, this tastes delicious together. What if we did a Pykakin? And then they fall in love,
mm-hmm.
and they don't kiss until the last 30 seconds of the movie. And everybody goes away happy. He stays in town, decides not to buy the town, but turns things around and the economy
invests
around
in the community.
Yeah, invests in the community, and she's his first investment to make sure she doesn't leave. That she actually wants to stay in her hometown in New Hampshire. I've seen it. I mean, we've all seen it,
This guy.
and the grandmother is the mother from Wonder Years. She plays the grandmother.
Is that Marissa Tomei in there? She just makes a cameo, right? She's like the aunt that shows up. And
No, that's too popular.
No, at this point, I don't know, man. She's got to be pushing 60 something, I feel like.
She looks great.
No, she does.
Yeah.
Next text.
Would you watch that movie, Doug?
Yeah. I got to be honest.
Are you going to watch that?
I tried San Adams White Ale. It's simply incredible. One of the best beers I've ever had. It's an endorsement.
Now, the White Ale or the Winter White Ale? Because the Winter White Ale is the new one.
Yeah,
this is brand new.
The Winter White Ale.
Ale is a beer they've had before, and I really like the White Ale, so I'm curious about the Winter White Ale.
I'm really intrigued by the Winter White. Add me the list of guys that could eat stovetop stuffing as a meal. I could almost eat the whole box in one feeding. That's from Jody and Romeo.
So Kang wanted me to tell the story because I told him during a break. So the Super Bowl that the Giants' first Super Bowl win, Phil Simms was like perfect in the game, was like 24 of 27 or something like that. The 1986 season, the 87 Super Bowl. I was at my friend Doug's house.
Mm-hmm. A different Doug, right?
A different Doug altogether. And it was just two of us hanging out. We were in high school. I was a junior. He was a senior. And we're having some beers, watching the Super Bowl because there was no parent supervision. And we're hungry. And all he's got in the house is stovetop. Like, let's go. Let's make stovetop. So we made the box of stovetop, split it up between the two of us, and just threw it down. It was so good.
The whole box.
The whole box of stovetop.
Doug, if you had to vote on who had a meal as stovetop, just stovetop only at the station.
And Löwenbräu. Stovetop and Löwenbräu.
Gator's like minus 10,000. Stovetop stuffing is okay, but it needs to be doctored up. That's from an unnamed texter.
A little more butter?
Okay. Steve in New Baltimore. Stovetop stuffing mixed with Bob Evans hot sausage is the bomb.
Okay. All right.
Next text. I love stovetop stuffing. You are not alone.
I think it gets a bad rap. Like, you say that, and everyone's like, oh, that's not real food. We know it's like, not real.
Well, I mean, it's not homemade, but why does it have to be homemade to be good?
I enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah. It's like, I don't worry about what's in Velveeta cheese. If it's going to melt great and taste great, who cares? Right? Is it cheese?
I don't know.
Maybe. Jello.
To answer your question, me. I care. I can't remember the last time I had Velveeta.
I can't remember the last time I had Velveeta either, but it gets a bad rap. It's the perfect melting cheese product.
It's when you're putting cheese in quotes, are you really sure
so
that
good.
It, quote, gets a bad rap?
Well, orange ooze wouldn't sell, all right?
Yeah.
Salt-flavored ooze for your nachos.
You want a grilled cheese sandwich? Yeah. Honestly, the best cheese for a grilled cheese sandwich, sorry to say, it's Velveeta. It is. Hunk of Velveeta between a couple pieces of white bread, and you grill it up with butter on either side, you got it! Touchdown! Woo!
You're taking them back to 86, Doug.
I know, like,
but we say you haven't changed.
I can have a Velveeta grilled cheese sandwich and stovetop stuffing and loam, bro, and football.
Next text. Hey,
remember the friend named Doug?
Have you guys ever added egg to your stovetop stuffing?
No.
It takes it from amazing to life-changing. One egg per package. That's from Julius.
So, King, does this sound like a fried rice type thing? Or
just add whatever?
Add an egg? I'm here for it. I like eggs.
Mike in Whitmore Lake. I got my wife a sixer of that Sam Adams Winter White Ale. She hates spice, doesn't like citrus a ton, and loves that beer.
Wow.
Mike in Whitmore Lake.
Happy wife, happy life.
Mm-hmm. Bear Slays on Twitch says, wow, spoilers, Gator. Come on, man. Oh, he just gave away the whole plot of the movie he made up about pie caking. Stovetop and Lowenbrow, Breakfast of Champions. That's from FBG 25.
Gotta have a villain in that movie, though.
Do you?
Yeah, like well, the villain would be the father.
The love interest is the villain at the beginning, right? He's coming in to buy the town.
Well, he's there to buy the town, but at the behest of his father. That's the villain. Oh, so okay, who would play his father, you know?
All right.
Maybe the guy who played Sergeant Cottrell on Chips. Maybe that's, you know, Chris Pine's dad. Maybe he's the guy.
Does anybody else know who that is?
Sure.
Probably not.
I've actually seen him in some of those Hallmark movies.
Have you?
Yeah. At least one I can remember, yeah.
All right, we bring in Rico Beard, who is next up here on 97.1. Hello,
sorry,
sir.
Sorry.
Oh, no. It's more about
Rico Beard.
He's got this movie he's putting together that's all centered around a cake stuff with pies.
The pie caking.
Yeah, so.
You ever heard of pie caking? You've heard of turducken.
Yeah.
So pie caking is this, some company is coming out with this 6 pound.
It costs $110, though.
It's 6 pounds. The 6 pound cake that is actually it's pie
this,
on the bottom, pecan pie,
pecan.
Pumpkin pie.
This layer's pumpkin. This
you
is
got
spice
some
cake.
Cinnamon buttercream in between. Then you got the spice cake, and then the apple pie topping on the top of it. 6 pounds.
$110.
Sounds delicious.
You in?
You have just named four of the cakes and pies that I just detest.
Oh, really?
All at one spot.
You're right.
That was fun.
That is Gator saying, I really don't want you to come over for Thanksgiving.
This is what I'm having. More pie caking for you.
I mean, it's more for me. You. Exactly. What do I have to serve to please you?
No, I'm just saying.
What do I have to serve to please you, Rico?
Wow. I'm going to just, you know what? Guys,
you want some angel food cake? I'll get some angel food cake.
No.
You want a cheesecake?
I'm more of a cheesecake
person.
Okay,
that's fine.
I like chocolate cake.
We can work this.
So Jair Hill from the Michigan football team is the team he like bakes.
Mm-hmm.
He makes cheesecake cones, like cheesecake in an ice cream cone.
With filling in an ice cream?
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good.
I've made almost cheesecake cupcakes.
Oh, yeah. That sounds
where the crust is just an Oreo cookie.
Where do you stand on pie?
And then you put the cheesecake on top and you bake them.
Yeah,
I like.
We've kind of lost.
Like pie?
We've kind of lost cabin pressure here. What do you got planned coming up next?
The turducken. I mean the pie caking
or pie caking.
Pie caking.
Pie caking.
Have a great show.
No, private equity, Big Ten. We're gonna leave with
that. All right, stay safe, everybody, and treat each other with respect. 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.